KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. We so much appreciate Power Ford and their sponsorship of our show and a lot of the radio that you hear on KNKT. Today we've got a thinking man's topic. Steve McKee of McKee Wallwork and Company Advertising in studio with me. Steve has really gotten interested in the last few years in particularly New Mexico politics. And I mean, when you get involved with New Mexico politics, you're also involved with national politics because the national politicians are after our state and they want to control what's going on here. But the topic today is not going to be something that you might expect. Today we're going to be talking about cannabis and marijuana and how Christians need to think through that issue. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you today, but I want to make sure our listeners know if you have questions for Steve, 505-338-5790. We're going to be talking about medical marijuana. We're going to talk about possibly legalizing marijuana for recreational use. The topic is wide open, very controversial. If you have anything to say, I'd love to hear it. Regardless of what your opinion is, we'd like to hear your opinion. Again, 505-338-5790 to the KNKT studios and talking with Steve McKee. Steve, let's start with kind of definitions, if you will. Yeah. Tell us about cannabis versus marijuana.
Well, that, you know, being in the ad business, it's kind of funny because words are just words.
Right.
We've all known it as marijuana. I mean, there's a lot of slang terms for it, but sort of the official term is marijuana. And yet when the legalization topic comes up, all of a sudden we're calling it cannabis, which I just find kind of funny because it's sort of a rebranding exercise because what's cannabis, right? That sounds very simple and innocuous and innocent versus, you know, Mary Jane, marijuana, the stuff that we all grew up thinking. And so it's, we're talking about the same thing. There is a side issue that we could address later if, cause it does confuse people, which is hemp, which comes from a very similar plant, but it doesn't have the intoxicating properties. So we should probably set hemp aside, but cannabis and marijuana for the purposes of our conversation here are the same thing. So when we talk about legalizing cannabis, it just sounds a little better, which is odd because so far we've had medical marijuana legalized in the state, and that rolls off the tongue.
And that's been for at least a couple years
now. Yeah, and that's I think there's a different people feel a variety of different ways about this whole issue, which is why it's so fascinating, why I'm excited to talk about it today. There's a clear line of demarcation, I think, between recreational marijuana and medical marijuana, and it would be the same line of demarcation whether we offer, you know, prescription drugs like opioids, which are controversial in and of themselves, or just go ahead and legalize recreational opioids. I mean, you can imagine what that would look like.
Right.
And so for medicinal use under the supervision of a doctor via a prescription to relieve pain or nausea or the things, and you know, there are people on medical marijuana that just swear by it. That's a different question. It is a question, but it's a different question than recreational marijuana. And I think it's really important to distinguish that because there's a lot of people who feel very strongly about medical marijuana, particularly the people that have been relieved by it. And it's threatening, you know, to them if we lump it all together because you're not differentiating.
Sure. And it is legal and it is working. At least I know two or three people that have lived in great pain and seem to be getting some benefit out of that. In fact, I have a very close friend of mine, a long, long time ago, one of my high school athletic teammates, he came down with leukemia, and they did prescribe, even before it was legal, the doctor prescribed a medical marijuana, and it really reduced his nausea during chemotherapy and those type of things. So I'm sure he was one of the first people in the state. Mm. And unfortunately, we lost him, but it did help him during the time that he was severely ill. So, Steve, we're going to... Michelle Lujan Grisham, our governor, has put in place apparently a work group.
Cannabis task
discussing
force.
The pros and cons. Tell us about that.
In the last legislative session, there was a significant movement towards legalizing recreational marijuana. It's actually been going on for a few years, but in the last session, the Democrats took control of both chambers and she was elected governor. And so they thought, okay, we're going to do this. It kind of got gummed up in the works. There's a lot of opposition. There were a lot of competing suggestions. Some people said we should sell it through state-owned dispensaries, and other people were like, why would we do that? And it was funny because people were like switching sides of the political aisle because Republicans wanted it to be controlled by the state. The Democrats were like, no, free market. So it kind of got stopped up, and it didn't pass. Well, the governor, the next legislative session is a financial session. It's a short session, and they're really supposed to only deal with budget issues. But the governor can put on the call, as they say, anything that she can justify that she wants. And honestly, you can argue that this fits because one of the big arguments for it is the tax revenue it will generate. And so in January, next January, there's going to be some sort of a bill to legalize recreational marijuana. She has put together a cannabis task force to work on it between now and then. It's got about 20 or 30 people on it from a variety of...
I have plenty of my friends that would have signed up for a marijuana task force. I'm not sure.
Right. So that's happening right now. And the great thing about it, about what we're talking about, is the last couple of weeks we've spoken about politics, which is how we live together. And what do you do and how do you get involved? And what's so great about this is it is a political issue from the standpoint of, you know, it involves our legislature and our laws, but it's not strictly partisan. So it doesn't, you know, cleanly divide between left and right. And it's out there right now with a working group that's soliciting public comment. There's all kinds of information online about it. So it's probably one of the easiest topics to get engaged with if you're so inclined.
And we'd love to hear from callers. If you'd like to ask a question or you'd like to make a statement about your personal feelings on it, 505-338-5790. Steve McKee in studio here with Jim Williams on ABQ Connect talking about cannabis, marijuana, and we'll cover all the topics of pros and cons and a lot to go over today. Tell us how they can go to some of these workshop meetings between now and the time this legislation goes forward.
There's a website for the working group, and I do give them credit for making this public. It's at marijuana.2020nm.com. Why it's not cannabis, I don't know. marijuana.2020nm.com. And on that website are published the names of everybody on the task force. You may know some of them. You can reach out to them. Also on that website, you can sign up to be notified with new information and updates. And there are at least once a month, I think they're planning a publicly open public comment meeting. The next one's coming up in August that people are invited to attend.
And where do they hold those? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure, but it's on the website.
So we can check the website.
If you have any interest in this topic, I would encourage you to go to that website and sign up. And if they get a bunch of registrations today, they'll say, well, how'd that happen?
Well, you've also mentioned off the air that you can Google information, and information from both sides is readily available.
It's plentiful. In fact, the danger is, what can you believe? Because part of what we might end up talking about today is there are vested interests behind this on both sides. They're vested for different reasons. And like anything, we want to present, you know, our position with the best, in the best way possible. There is actually some really good science, and there's actually some junk science associated with this. So you have to be a little bit careful, but that's true of anything that you find on Google, right? You can't just believe everything you see. There's plenty to take in and sift.
But Steve, it doesn't just have to do with marijuana. I mean, I've had Dr. Downs. I've got a couple of Christian nutritionists coming on. I've got Dr. Furman, who's just written a book about managing your blood glucose levels. These guys all have different opinions about what you should eat and what's healthy and what's not healthy, and all of them are true. And it's hard for me to decipher that. If you look at any supplementation search on Google right now, you're going to find a supplement that is supposed to help you with anything. Naturopathic, drug, whatever you want to look for, you'll find it. So it's hard to wade through all of that. And I think this is going to be another topic just like that.
Yeah, I think it is too.
So Steve McKee in studio with us here on ABQ Connect. Our phone number is 505-338-5790. Love to have you call. Love to have you tell us about whether you're in favor of legalizing marijuana. Maybe you've had some experience with medical marijuana and you can share that experience with us. We're here to inform and let everybody know. We'll be right back with Steve McKee after these messages.
People at Monroe's have been asking me, is your grandpa still washing dishes? And I say no. I promoted him to the parking lot.
Hey, Bill, can I come in from a parking lot?
Not yet, Grandpa. We're still busy inside. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the catering. We cater to weddings, graduations, and at-home parties.
Wait a minute. You're too young to be talking about weddings.
Not my wedding. Anyone's wedding. If you want a no-hassle party where we do the work, call into Monroe's today. We cater to you. Your place or ours.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8585.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Now a Hope Christian School update presented by Dream Style Remodeling. Hope Christian School was established to give students a safe place to receive a college prep education in a Christ-centered environment. Today, Hope Christian School has over 1,300 students enrolled and housed on 20 acres of land. Hope Christian School has a reputation for excellent academics, a competitive sports program, spiritual emphasis, and diversity among staff and students. You can support and expand the vision and mission of Hope Christian School. Go to the giving section at hopechristianschool.org. This update made possible by Dream Style Remodeling.
You are listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Following Jesus means freedom from sin, but it doesn't mean freedom from hardship. Well, imagine the hardship of being born without arms and legs. Nick Vujicic gave his life and his body to Jesus, a body with massive physical limitations, and God has used him to share the gospel with millions. Nick will share his incredible story with us at all weekend services this weekend at Calvary Church, July 20th and 21st. Bring someone with you and enjoy a special message from Nick Vujicic. Steve, I look at you. You're the author of a couple books, When Growth Stalls, Power Branding. You have your arms and legs. And Nick Vujicic has got like 10, 12 books. He's speaking. I mean, I don't even understand how the guy has the energy, period, to do what he does.
He's amazing.
But he's overcome some special things. I had a chance to interview him last week, and one of the things he shared with me is that he just has this great team around him, you know, people that are really supporting him and encouraging him. And in a microcosm, we all need that.
Yeah, we do.
We all need that encouragement. So Steve McKee in studio with me this afternoon, and we are talking about cannabis, marijuana, medical marijuana. Steve, let's talk about the pros and cons a little bit, and who's for this, and who's supporting this issue.
This is such a fascinating issue because it doesn't break down along left-right lines so much. You have a coalition of sort of the strictest libertarians who are all about personal liberty, and you know, the argument being I have a natural right to do what I want with my own body, and that's certainly true. And they are somehow aligned with, on the far left, big government types who want tax revenue, tax revenue, tax revenue, who are both also aligned with some elements of the business community who see this as an opportunity to make a lot of money. I mean, imagine if you got the first beer distributorship, you know. So there's this interesting cross the spectrum coalition of people. And then on the other side, you have a similar coalition, you know, of people who have moral arguments against it, and people who have economic arguments against it, and people have social arguments against it. So it tends to cross party lines.
We have Jason on the phone with us. Jason, good afternoon. Do you have something to say to Steve?
Absolutely. I wanted to, first of all, thank you guys for having this conversation. I think it's important that the Christian community start having more conversations about it.
Well, we appreciate you listening, and I agree with you. We all need to know how to think through this, don't we?
Absolutely. And I recently went to my church and let them know that I'm on the medical marijuana program, and I struggle with a few different things, bipolar, social anxiety, and I've been on many different drugs and combinations of drugs for about 9 years, and recently started medical marijuana, and it's been incredibly helpful to me. And I'm hoping that I can get my church community to be supportive in that.
Yeah, God bless you, Jason. I think it's really important. That's why we need to have this discussion, because different people feel different ways, and different churches are going to have different positions. But there is a, in my mind, there's a clear line of demarcation between medically prescribed medicine and non-prescription. And that's why we want to differentiate here between medical and recreational marijuana. And the question on the table for New Mexico is, do we expand it into the recreational realm? Because medical is already legal.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's having a great effect on you, Jason. And we appreciate you calling this afternoon. Thanks for the word. Steve, a question that I have, and maybe I should have asked Jason while he was still on the phone, but there appears to still be some stigma attached to medical marijuana, even though there's obviously a lot of success. So would a guy like Jason be concerned about being stigmatized somehow in the Christian community?
I could see why he would. Just as if you were... I mean, I don't want to strictly compare it to opioids. I'm not a physician, but there has been historically and arguably is a role for those for pain relief medication, and yet we know what has happened with the opioid crisis in America, and so that is the jump ball. I mean, that's in question. I mean, there's a lot. It's a crisis. It's a problem. So I could see that being stigmatized, but I don't think that the potential for stigmatization alone certainly doesn't justify necessarily expanding it. But I want to be fair to both sides. And I think one of the problems with our politics is we sort of try to play both that. I'm against the legalization of recreational marijuana. I want to make that clear so I can speak freely about it. But I think I can fairly represent the arguments for it. And maybe we can take them one at a time and talk about them.
You have another caller.
Okay, we'll do that.
Gus, let's go to you now on the phone. Do you have a question for Steve?
Oh, man, that's awesome. Hey, thank you guys for doing this.
Sure.
Really, and I come from, if I'm honest, smoking pot back in college something, and this stuff was terrible. It's grown in the middle of the jungle, sanitary, terrible, guns, throw it in the ocean, pull it out, smoke that stuff. We abuse stuff. On the flip side, when I had a lot of PTSD and what it was insomnia, I probably slept 3 hours a night. At 11 o'clock, I'd go 1 o'clock, I'm up all night, and then I'm up about 3 o'clock in the morning, so I just go work out. The cannabis, when I got the right amount, too much of CBD, you got a dry mouth, too much of THC, it makes you wacky. Enough of both where it would knock me out, calm everything down, and then I could function. And so I was sleeping 6 hours a night. I hadn't slept in 22 years. Drives my wife crazy.
This frames the
art. In the middle of... Yeah, in the middle of tearing the whole marriage apart, she's like, she hasn't slept, and she goes kind of crazy. So I sleep 3 to 5. I don't use it anymore because she does not agree, because there's that part that it's going to grab you and it's going to bleed into other parts of your life.
That's right.
Where it should not be.
That's right, Gus. And this really frames the issue well, because it's when people self-medicate, and you know, with alcohol, a lot of people self-medicate, and we have rampant alcoholism, and it's a real problem. When people self-medicate, it can create an immense problem, as you've just articulated. Whereas if you're under the supervision of a physician, a medical practitioner, if it's by prescription and there's some controls on it, that's a different proposition. Yeah. And so that's why in many respects, the best argument against legalizing recreational marijuana is the efficacy of medical marijuana, because it's a controlled substance, and that's a legal term. It's a controlled substance, just like hydrocodone is, or morphine, or any other kind of pain relief. So
Gus,
do you have enough? Are you self-aware enough about its effects on your body to where you could tell whether you're going overboard or staying online with what's been prescribed?
Yeah, it really is. You know, basically a stoner's a stoner. You get it. And so what it was is, I know if I took an edible as I was going to sleep, if I didn't want to eat, no cycle, nothing, you're not getting high, it wouldn't kick in for about a half an hour, 20, 30 minutes. And I was already asleep. And so it would keep my mind quiet because my mind is always going. I'm an ADHD, 50-year-old adult. And so it calms everything down. The PTSD runs in the background. The insomnia dominates the day, or the early morning, I should say. Because I'm up about 4:30 is perfect. That's daytime, but when I get up at 2-3, it drives me crazy. 2 hours sleep.
Gus, I think we ought to have
that right there, and it works on your cannabinoids. The education you get from a doctor, we don't study Advil. These guys study this stuff. You have PhD sites. The doctors are in the labs making it, and the patients know how to use that stuff. Like, I know how to drink, I know how to take 2 Advil, I know how to do that. And the proper thing, I've seen women with fibromyalgia, she hadn't gone out of her house for 8 years. She would use cannabis and take it orally and everything else, and she has a job. She works at dispensaries. It gives them their life back. We're going to abuse all this stuff because it's a fun drug. But in its place, man, I tell you, there's nothing like it that just helps you function.
That's why there is, thank you for that call, Gus. And again, God bless you for your specific circumstances. That's why this is such a debate. And there is, most polls will show majority support for legalizing recreational marijuana, but we have to be careful about that because there is what you might call the marijuana industrial complex put together. There's companies that stand to make a lot of money from this. There are, most governments writ large are for it because they stand to make a lot of money from it. That's debatable, but that's what they claim. And so there are genuine financial interests behind legalization, whereas there are not so much legal interests, or economic interests behind not legalizing it. And so, I mean, I'm in the ad business, right? You want to change public perceptions, you put together a very sophisticated marketing campaign and you do that. And that's what they've done over a period of time. And that's why you've seen the numbers shift. But, you know, the arguments for it are tax revenue, that it will create jobs and boost the economy, that it's a question of liberty, that a majority of people support it. And so there are some, one argument is that it, you know, what about the drug cartels? It will defang the drug cartels. Each of these arguments has their counter arguments, and it's up to the listeners to decide which they're most compelled by. In my mind, it's you kind of have to trust your judgment. And do we need more intoxicated people?
Lots more to come this afternoon with Steve McKee about marijuana and cannabis. Call us at 505-338-5790. Doing really a Christian worldview analysis of this issue, and we appreciate you joining us. We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
The 2019 Star 88 Golf Tournament, Saturday morning, September 21st, 8 o'clock at Santa Ana Golf Club. This four-person scramble will help Star 88 meet the 2019 budget, while a portion of the proceeds will benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Enjoy a day filled with golf and giveaways and godly fellowship. Breakfast is provided by Monroe's New Mexican Food. Lunch provided by Chick-fil-A. Sponsors are needed right now, and golfers will receive a discount for signing up early at star88.fm/golf.
Counselor, comforter, spirit of truth, advocate, helper, spirit of life. These are some of the names found in the Bible for the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity who wants to empower your life in amazing ways. The Holy Spirit is not a warm, fuzzy feeling or a vague cosmic force. He is a person
who loves you and cares for you and equips you to be everything Christ calls you to be. We want to help you understand who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in your life by sending you a DVD study from Pastor Skip called Expound Holy Spirit. It's our gift to say thanks for your support today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Plus, when you give today, we'll also send you Skip's lifestyle booklet, Lust, How to Conquer It, to help you discover how the Holy Spirit equips Christians to conquer this common struggle. So call now to give and get these insightful resources. 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Steve McKee, McKee Wallwork and Company Advertising. Steve's been on our show a couple of times. He's the author of Wind Growth Stalls and Power Branding. He has run the largest advertising agency in New Mexico for some time with some great creative ideas. The first time we met, you talked about positioning New Mexico.
Yeah.
And the perceptions that people have about New Mexico around. In the second meeting, you gave us one statement that I still find to be very profound and applicable to both sides of the aisle. We start talking about politics, and it's this. When it comes to a public policy decision that our politicians make in the state of New Mexico, does it make New Mexico more competitive on the world business stage? And I thought that was a profound question. So you just said the majority supports legalizing marijuana in the state of New Mexico. Let me ask you about that public policy decision. Does it make us more competitive?
I think it's pretty clear that it doesn't make us more competitive. We're up to maybe 11 states that have legalized it. So it would make us comparative with them. But if you look at the sum total of the arguments for and against it, at least the conclusion I've come to is the decline in productivity, the increase in crime, accidents, that it would be one more strike against New Mexico. If a company's considering moving here and they're one of their biggest concerns is always the workforce, and we've talked about education, and is the workforce going to be better equipped or worse equipped if they can buy a joint on any corner, right? That's sort of the answer to that.
Right. Now, this is not on our list of questions, but I just thought of this. If marijuana is legalized, I mean, many of us have had an experience way back when we were really young. And of course, that's when marijuana was illegal. But today, if it becomes legal, or if you go to Colorado where it's legal, is that marijuana somehow more powerful?
Oh, yes.
It is.
Yes, significantly more powerful. Like 10 times more powerful than if you're a baby boomer and you might have experimented with it in high school and you think that's harmless, you know, which it wasn't, but it's very much more powerful. And there's a couple of other dynamics related to that. And that is dosage, if you will. There have been cases where, because when we're talking about the cannabis industrial complex, we're not just talking about smoking a joint in the back alley, right? There's candy and there's cookies and there's brownies. And
edibles.
Confections, yep. Right. Mm-hmm. You can't tell by looking at a confection what the dosage in there is. And so it could be potentially very, very dangerous. Not only if you're rolling a joint the old fashioned way and smoking it, but if you're, you know, eating a candy or whatever. Now the task force will tell you, and I believe this is true, that that's part of what they're taking on in terms of trying to regulate it, you know, regulating dosage and those sorts of things. You know, I don't try to regulate the weeds in my backyard. I don't try to regulate the roaches in my home. When you have to regulate something, it means that it could get out of control.
Well, let's go back to the pro side of this.
Okay.
So the people that are for the legalization of marijuana,
yeah,
they are arguing that it will increase tax revenues and it'll be a financial boon for the state.
Yes. Now, there's, as with any argument, there's multiple sides to it. They're talking about taxing it at a fairly high rate. And so the gross receipts tax that would come into the state from marijuana would be an increase. That's true. There's two mitigating factors to that. One is it's a trade-off. So people aren't going to find new money under their mattress. So they're either going to trade alcohol or maybe a movie tickets or some other way they use their disposable income for marijuana. So it's not a net increase of 17% or whatever they're considering taxing it at. It's an increase between what they might tax something else on. And so the increase is smaller. What's difficult about this topic is strictly from a tax revenue standpoint is you can measure the incoming because they count those dollars, but you can't measure, not nearly as easily, the stresses on our public safety system, the costs of crime, the costs of car accidents, the costs of addiction treatment. That stuff's harder to measure. But generally speaking, there's some statistics I saw about tobacco and alcohol, generally speaking, writ large. And the societal costs of those two things outstrip the tax revenue by a factor of 10 or 20 to 1.
Wow.
It's just remarkable.
So the pro arguments are primarily two things. One is that it will generate more revenue for the state, for the tax coffers. But number two, we should be free to do whatever we want to do with our bodies. Is that really the?
Yeah. And I think for that second argument, I have a lot of sympathy for it because I believe in natural rights, you know, and as individuals, we have the ability to make decisions about our own bodies. Where it gets complicated, when some friends of mine have said, it's nobody's business to tell me what I can and can't do in my backyard. I say that's true. But the minute you get into your car and threaten my kid, that's my business.
That's a problem. So
if you are in favor of the libertarian argument for freedom, demonstrate that to me by giving me a one strike and you're out policy on abuse or, you know, being caught driving while intoxicated.
Did you get the idea, though, from our two callers this afternoon that both of them were pretty cognizant of abusing these drugs? And they seemed to be very much benefiting from the supervised use of medical marijuana. But they also both acknowledged, especially our last caller, that that had been out of control maybe at one time in his life.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the best thing for him. But now that it's been managed, now that he has a handle on that and the products, I think he also described using edibles. Mm-hmm. Maybe as opposed to what most of us think is, you know, using a pipe or smoking a joint or something like that. So it sounds like a lot of people are very cognizant of using medical marijuana, its pros. But of course, we as Christians all know that we have sin in our lives. We have another caller, Duffy. Do you have a question for Steve this afternoon?
I do. Thank you for taking the call. I have read, I'm not anywhere in the medical profession, but in the 1970s, marijuana had a 2% THC factor, and today it now has about a 20 to 25% factor,
wow,
which is like near beer to martini comparisons. And in a state that has very high substance abuse issues, well above national averages, how do we factor, is there any conversation around some of this in this dialogue that's going on about introducing recreational marijuana in a state that already has some issues around that?
You know, it's really interesting that you mentioned that because I have a chart right in front of me that says New Mexico is number one in the nation in alcohol-related deaths, and we're also number one in the nation in deaths due to drug injury of any type. So, you know, we always look to our national rankings. We're number one in two areas that we don't want to be number one in. So I don't see how this can't help but exacerbate those issues, to Duffy's point.
And I can't imagine that there's a lot of people like Duffy, like yourself, Steve, that sounds like Duffy's in opposition. Would that be correct, Duffy?
Yes, I would not be in favor of it.
So what do people do that are not in favor of it between now and this legislative session where this is considered for legalization next year?
Generally speaking, call your legislator, make sure they know how you feel. I had a conversation with my legislator last year during the session. We had a nice 7 or 8 minute phone call. We didn't agree, and that's okay, because if he gets a call from another person, another person, another person, you know, perhaps he'll change his mind. So generally speaking, do that. But specifically, marijuana.2020nm.com. I would say go to that site, sign up for their alerts, attend the public meeting. You don't have to say anything unless you want to. And then do what God lays on your heart. Make a phone call, write a letter.
Yeah, and I would encourage Christians to pray.
Absolutely. And you know what we saw in this last session when on the very last day, the abortion and assisted suicide bills went down to defeat by a whisker. It was because enough people made their voices heard that in no way was a majority. It was just enough people to where the legislators said, okay, wait a minute. You know, there's a lot of people who they're not going to let this sail through. And they adjusted their behavior accordingly.
That's awesome. Duffy, thank you for your call this afternoon. If you'd like to call in to talk with Steve McKee, 505-338-5790 is the KNKT studios. Jim Williams in studio with Steve McKee talking about cannabis and marijuana and the legalization of such here in the state. We'll be right back with after these messages. Thanks.
You'll do it right to spend less on the things you need to update and organize your home. Lowe's is here to help you save every day. Plus, bonus savings this week. Upgrade to a newer, more stylish ceiling fan and save with up to 20% off select Harbor Breeze ceiling fans. Reclaim your space with 18-gallon totes now just $4.98 each and available in four colors, coral, turquoise, green, and gray. Whatever's on your to-do list, today and every day, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 7/24, U.S. only.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
There's this big trend these days. It's popping up all over the country. And it's people who lie in salt tanks and just float around. Just, you want to go float in the salt tank? And I'm like, no. I actually really, really, really don't want to do that. I think that's actually all too often a perfect picture of the church. We've got this precious gospel message and we're just rolling around. We're just floating around our little church. Isn't it so great to be saved? I'm telling you something. The way to honor Jesus is to get the salt out of the tank. The way to honor Jesus is to get the salt out into the world. The way to honor God is to get the salt where it's meant to go. Y'all, that's how we can be worth our salt.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford Power Ford. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Steve McKee in studio here with Jim Williams on ABQ Connect talking about cannabis and the legalization of marijuana and interesting marketing names we now have, case study. So I just asked you before the break, we had a nice call from Duffy about who is for this.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, there's two major pro arguments. One is it'll generate tax revenues. And the second one is that people have the perception that we are free to do whatever we want. Our bodies should be ours and we can make whatever decisions we want. So those are the two main pro arguments. Now we've had a lot of people today calling and talking about the medical benefits. But today we're, you know, medical marijuana is legal. And it appears that as opposed to snake oil salesmen of the past, there appears to be really strong evidence that there's a lot of people benefiting from medical marijuana. Who's against this, Steve?
It's interesting. I've seen some evidence to the contrary of that, that a lot of people are benefiting, but I can't argue with somebody's personal experience. But in terms of against it, the American Medical Association is against this, which, you know, says something. Now, they're not always right because they take a lot of positions that are somewhat political, but I think the fact that they're still against it, the American Society of Addiction Medicine, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and this is where you start to cut through some of the Google stuff. But one that's really interesting is the National Academy of Medicine. And very often we get the pushback, well, then should we tried making alcohol illegal, so should we do that? I think that's a bit of a straw man because number one, I say, based on that argument, I could turn it around and say, well, then why don't we make opioids legal? You know, somewhere you have to draw the line. But this is interesting. The National Academy of Medicine found that cannabis, this is scary, is likely to increase your risk of developing schizophrenia, and that the more you use it, the higher that goes up. They said that in the American Journal of Psychiatry, people who used cannabis were almost three times as likely to get addicted to opiates years later. And people who consume alcohol daily compared to people who use cannabis daily, let me put it this way, 1 in 15 drinkers consume alcohol daily. 1 in 5 marijuana users consume cannabis daily. It is addictive, and it has different properties. Alcohol ruins your liver. Cannabis will ruin your lungs. And there's an interesting article I read that said the use of cannabis makes you stupid. It makes you more of a loser. Socioeconomically, people who use cannabis regularly just don't make it. And I mean, that's kind of the point, right? The joke in movies is the old stoner.
And we're talking about recreational users.
You got the stoner, right? The Keanu Reeves, whatever, dude. It decreases productivity. It kills brain cells. And one thing that we haven't addressed today that concerns me as much as anything, even in sympathy with the liberty argument, is our kids and our teenagers. Because last week we talked about all law being a codification of morality, that you can't not legislate morality. Well, that works both ways, meaning if something is legalized, there's an implicit blessing of the state on it. And yes, it'll be legalized only for adults and they'll have controls on it. But if it's made legal, it's that much less toxic, if you will, mentally to kids and teenagers. And when a young kid starts smoking marijuana, that's a long road to nowhere.
And we've heard the argument that it's always compared to alcohol. You know, alcohol has devastated our state.
It has.
I mean, there are communities in our state that literally have an epidemic of alcoholism present. And it's hurtful. There are people involved in ministries throughout our state and really around the world that are fighting these addictions and trying to get people away from that. So is marijuana any worse than alcohol?
Well, it's increasingly the connection between marijuana and psychoses is being made by physicians, from schizophrenia to other psychotic disorders. And in this is where it ties into crime, and this is where it's really hard to tease out all these problems, because many crimes that are committed by psychotic people, it's because they believe that they're in danger when they're really not. So it's not a premeditated sort of a crime. And when somebody is intoxicated with marijuana, and if it increases the likelihood that they're going to get a psychotic condition, that's very different. Alcohol will ruin your liver, and while you're drunk, you could kill someone. Marijuana will ruin your lungs, and while you're stoned, you could kill someone. But beyond that, it could do permanent brain damage.
Well, a simple question is this. Are you safer if you are intoxicated with alcohol or intoxicated with marijuana and you drive your car?
Are you safer jumping off the north side of a building or the south side of a building? Right.
So they're equally as dangerous.
From an intoxication standpoint, I'm not an expert. I can't say that, but I do know that in the Colorado experience, traffic fatalities have gone up. You can't measure tobacco in the bloodstream, if you will, the same way you measure alcohol in the bloodstream. So you can't prove conclusively that if somebody has marijuana in their bloodstream, that that's what caused the accident, whereas with alcohol you can. Nevertheless, the correlation of people who died in car accidents in Colorado with marijuana in their body, or THC in their body, has gone up since Colorado legalized it.
And there are a couple other facts, which you've told me. If you are an Albuquerque police officer, or any law enforcement officer, sheriff's department, not only in New Mexico, but other parts of the country, if you are on even medical marijuana, you are not allowed to carry a firearm.
Why?
That's obviously somebody's looked into it and has some strong evidence that it probably endangers people if you have a firearm and you're under the influence.
Well, it's actually, that is the question. You are impaired. That's why people want to legalize it, because we want to self-medicate. We want to make ourselves impaired. I mean, that's really the root cause. And some people say, that's none of your business. If I do that, I get that. Some others say, we're going to make more tax money. I get that. But if you're impaired, if you're in your backyard, it's one thing. If you're behind a wheel, I don't know.
Let's get some feedback now from Gene on the phones. Gene, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, and thank you for taking my call. I wanted to dovetail on the conversation that Duffy had when he called in Obviously, today's marijuana is quite a bit more potent than it was back in the 70s. And in being in opposition to recreational marijuana, one of the problems I see is if you're having a couple of beers or a couple of martinis or a couple of glasses of wine, you traditionally know how that is going to affect you. If you're at home, if you're with friends, if you're driving your vehicle, obviously, which you probably shouldn't be. The problem I see is the amount of THC varies, and you're not going to know how that's going to impair you as you do with a set amount of alcohol, which you may have consumed for a number of years. So I think there's a variable in today's marijuana that some folks are not certain how it's going to impair them. And if they are behind the wheel and kind of dovetailing into the conversation the two of you were just having, I think we're looking for a catastrophic outcome in some situations because folks just don't know how potent what they're getting. And again, they may be buying it from a reputable source, which is great. They may be getting it from a neighbor or something, and they don't know what it might be laced with. So I think we're really, really dancing with danger, the way I look at it, if we legalize recreational marijuana today.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's added by the psychological dynamics of, let's say that you're buying a little edible, a little piece of candy. It might have a full dose, whatever that is, of marijuana, but it's a little piece of candy. And, you know, I'll have three or four in a row if I'm having real candy. So there's sort of a psychological, it's harmless because it's a piece of candy sort of a thing that adds to that. And then on top of it, there's the whole black market thing, because even if it's legalized, it'll be taxed at a high level and you'll be able to buy it with cash, not at a government store or not at a regulated store. And now you're really talking about crazy levels of intoxication. It could be laced with things. And the working group will tell you that they're going to regulate all that and that they're going to study it. And I believe that they genuinely will attempt to do that. The problem is, I can kill all the cockroaches I see in my house, but I can't kill all the cockroaches. You know, yeah. They're there.
Right. Gene, thanks for your call this afternoon. We appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you.
So we were talking about teenagers, if I could just elaborate on that. It's really frightening because teenagers, the experience has shown and the research is telling us that when it's legalized, they're much more likely to be inclined to try it. And when they try it, one in six that regularly smoke marijuana become dependent on it. So if you're the parent, and I would just personally appeal to somebody listening, if you're the parent of a 12 or 13 or 14 or 15-year-old right now, you know, someone offers them heroin on their high school campus, hopefully they're going to be smart enough to turn that down. Somebody offers them legal marijuana that their parents, you know, imbibe, it's harmless, I'll try it. That might put that kid, you know, they're probably not going to die of an overdose like a heroin addict, but their grades are going to decrease. They're not going to be as motivated. They're not going to want to go to work, and they could become addicted, and it's a gateway drug.
Steve, when we come back after these messages, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, people have made statements that are for the legalization, that marijuana is totally harmless, that there are no long-term health effects. You've already debunked some of that, but I want to go back to Gene's question about what are you actually going to be using when it's legal, and talk about regulation and some of those issues when we come back. You're listening to ABQ Connect. Steve McKee in studio with Jim Williams. We'll be right back.
It's already time to think about going back to school. Albuquerque Christian Children's Home always gets new kids right before school starts, and they often arrive with only the clothes they're wearing. Plus, the children who are already at ACCH have grown. All of these kids need clothes and shoes that fit. Please pick up a gift card at local clothing outlets and donate it to ACCH. For more information, call 898-5520. That's 898-5520. Or visit acchkids.org. And thanks for helping the kids at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
Life's not fair. Is it, my little friend?
Disney's remake of The Lion King gives us a new look at the very recognizable story of a young cub prince who must learn how to become the Lion King he was meant to be. Between this film's lifelike CGI images and its dynamic and sweeping soundtrack, this remade classic is something awesome to behold. But parents should realize that a tale with incredibly realistic humanized animals can also deliver some incredibly intense roaring and sharp-toothed action. Your littlest family members may not be expecting the fiercer side of this animal kingdom. We'll give The Lion King a 3.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Steve McKee, author, dad, political analyst. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Steve, I want to go right back now to one of the questions that was asked about once marijuana is legalized. Is there going to be any regulation trying to, I'm sure the FDA will somehow get involved.
There will be, there has to be regulation just as there is with tobacco and alcohol. But just as there is with tobacco and alcohol, there will be ways to get around the regulation. And this one is, Thomas Sowell talks about thinking beyond stage one. This one, we have to think beyond stage one. So just picture this. So marijuana is legalized, okay? The picture we have in our minds are of the stoner in the corner with the joint in his mouth, right? That'll happen, but that's not how sophisticated people do it. So there will be edibles, and what does that mean? Candy that you can pop in your mouth, a lozenge you can have at work, a brownie, magic brownies, you know, they'll be legal all of a sudden.
And some of those products are enjoyed or used, I shouldn't necessarily say enjoyed, or people are made to feel better with medical marijuana that are in those forms.
Sure, but these will be – we're talking about full-scale consumer marketing. I mean, when this is legalized, companies will get behind it. They will have brand names. They'll have colorful packaging, just the way that the big advertisers sell cookies and soft drinks and cereal to our kids. I'm not saying they're going to target our kids, but they're probably not going to mind. But here's the scary thing. You can buy marijuana in a small quantity when it's legal. And what are a lot of people likely to do? And that is to put it into homemade cookies, brownies. It would be kind of fun, right? Hey, have some magic brownies. Now we're talking about, you have no idea how much is in there. And when you take it to your pool party, maybe somebody who's eating it won't know it's laced.
It's even in there. Yeah.
And they won't know how much. So you're going to get stopped for driving across the median, and you're going to say, "Officer, all I had was 2 brownies, I swear." This could be an issue. At least with alcohol, when the punch is spiked or somebody brings the margaritas, they're there. You know it. You keep the kids away, you know. In this case, there's a lot of adjustment coming.
Steve, while this is under consideration, aren't we already losing the war on drugs?
Yeah, that's what people say, don't they? Aren't we losing the war on terror? What should we do? Should we quit? Should we quit fighting? I think that's become a sort of a canard that people say we're losing the war on drugs. Does that mean because people still do drugs and drugs haven't been eradicated? Well, then, yeah, we're losing. I don't see it that way. I see it differently. I think if we can keep kids from getting hooked on drugs and stay away from drugs, each individual life is a battle. And if you win that battle, you win. So I don't, yeah, the war on drugs is not going well. Neither is the war on terror. What are we to do in a civilized society? Right? I think we keep fighting it.
And you have to do that wisely.
Yes, wisely. And that's where you get into, and we don't have time to get into this, but sentencing reform and decriminalization, which is different from legalization, that's a whole nother topic that we could get into. And there's some sensible conversations to be had along those lines. But to go the opposite direction, open it up and say, here's a new substance of intoxication in a state that is number one for alcohol-related deaths and number one for all drug-related deaths. I just don't see the wisdom of that.
So you have a great statement about us continuing to fight, just as we do with other issues that seem to be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the faith in the Lord to know he's going to direct us and protect us, and if we're sensitive to his leading. But if there's a recreational marijuana that's now being marketed by, I don't know, the tobacco companies or whoever ends up controlling it, what are the cartels going to do? Are they just going to lie down, or are they going to be marketing a product that's more powerful?
I read an eye-opening article. This was years ago from a former DEA agent, and he made a very simple statement. He said, the cartels are not in the drug business. They're in the distribution business, and they're not going to give up their distributorship. And so if you take their main product away, marijuana, they're just going to shift to a different product. And in all likelihood, that will be cocaine or heroin or something much worse. The cartels aren't going to say, oh, they legalized marijuana in New Mexico, so, you know, let's go get an honest job. They're distributors. They have distribution networks set up, and they're going to find something else to distribute.
And it's huge business.
It's huge business. It's terrible business. And that's, again, back to the war on drugs. If we stamp out one drug, there'll be another. And they will make sure it gets into the hands of Americans and our kids. And I think that socioeconomically, socially, morally, we have an obligation to try and stand up for this.
Is it true right now in New Mexico that you can grow so many marijuana plants?
I believe so if you're approved as a medical cannabis grower. There's been a lot of positioning over the last few years, everybody anticipating that this thing is going to happen. The medical marijuana industry has grown a lot faster than it probably should have, strictly based on medical needs alone. And there's a lot of companies that are positioning themselves as medical marijuana growers or providers, and like they're ready on day one to flip the switch.
There's so much to this. The issue is all over the place, and I'm so appreciative that you're here talking about this. And again, want to encourage people to get their own information, but then again, be aware of disseminated information that's basically propaganda from both sides.
Yeah, and be aware that by beginning of February, end of February next year, one way or another, this will be dealt with. And if it becomes legal, we had our opportunity to speak into it. And so now's when we need to do that. We talked last week about rendering unto Caesar. And in America, Caesar is us. We are the government. And so I think it's our obligation, it's everybody's individual obligation to develop an opinion on this and act accordingly, however God moves them.
Michelle Lujan Grisham, our governor, has established a workshop committee or a work group committee that is considering all of these options. And we hope that that's being done without some of the biases that we might suspect. But there's a website. Tell us what that website is one more time.
Marijuana.2020nm.com. Go to, you can put your name in there and get updates, and go to the agenda and public comment section, and you can comment right there or go to a meeting. And I'd also say the governor's email address and phone number are online too. And you could make your thoughts known to her directly, to your state legislator who's going to be voting on this one way or another. And it's, you know, we are to be salt and light. We're to be pleasant and kind and respectful. And but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have an opinion and express it.
Well, and just like the people that shared in opposition today, they were very kind. They were very pointed in their comments, maybe two or three sentences. And that would be pretty easy to email to any of your representatives.
It would be. And I would suggest, in your own words, you know, sometimes we get served these templates. I think they ignore the templates when they come in. Just in your own words, a sentence or two, very respectfully saying, I hope you'll really consider this. I hope you'll think it through. My own position is, while I'm against it, I say let's slow down. Let's take a few years, see what happens in other states, and then make our decision.
Really get the data.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Steve, for joining us today. We'll see you back next week on Friday. You've been listening to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. We'll see you on Monday.
ABQ Connect is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.